Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Radha Madhavashta Sakhi Vrinda ki, Shri Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki, Shri Shri Panchatattva ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukhakaroti vachalam pangoram gayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram nama om vishnu padaya krishna prashtaya bhutale shrimate jayapataka swaminiti namine nama acharya padaya nitai kripa pradayine gaurakata damadaya nagara gramadarine nama om vishnu padaya krishna prashtaya bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Text 23. Adishatvam Dvija Shrestha. Vidhim tad upadavayanam asutushyanti me deva sidantyasa putrakai adishatvam dvijasreshta vidhim tad upadavanam asutushyanti me deva Siddhantyatsa putrakai Adishatvam dvijashreshta Vidhim tad upadavanam Ashutushyanti me deva Siddhantyatsa putrakai Vaishnavis. Word by word translation. Adisha, just instruct me. Tvam, O my husband. Dvija Shrestha, O best of the Brahmanas. Vidhim, the regulative principles. Tat, the Lord. Upadhavanam, the process of worshipping. Ashu, very soon. Tushyanti, becomes satisfied. Me, unto me. Devaha, the Lord. Siddhyantaha, now lamenting. Saha, with. Putrakai, all my sons, the demigods. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, kindly instruct me in the perfect method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, by which the Lord may very soon be pleased with me and save me along with my sons from this most dangerous condition. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, less intelligent men ask whether one has to approach a guru to be instructed in devotional service for spiritual advancement. The answer is given here. Indeed, not only here, but also in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna accepted Krishna as his guru. Sishyasteham sadimam tvam prapannam. The Vedas also instruct tad vijnanartam sagurum vigacchate eva vigacchet. One must accept a guru for proper direction if one is seriously inclined towards advancement in spiritual life. The Lord says that one must worship the Acharya, who is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acharyam mama vignayet. One should definitely understand this. This in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that guru is the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, according to all the evidence given in the Shastra and by practical behavior of devotees, one must accept a guru. Aditi accepted her husband as guru so that he would direct her how to advance in spiritual consciousness, devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Lord. If you like to repeat the translation. O best of the Brahmanas, kindly instruct me in the perfect method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, by which the Lord may very soon be pleased with me and save me along with my sons from this most dangerous condition. The Kauravas and Pandavas, when they were very small children, they were in the Gurukul of Dronacharya. Duryodhan, by following the instruction of his uncle Shakuni, he tried to kill Bhima, his own cousin brother. Later on, by the instruction of Shakuni, his uncle, who Duryodhana was following, he also built a lakh house in which he wanted to burn down the Pandavas and Kunti Devi. All this was because he followed the instruction of his uncle Shakuni. So the significant word in this verse is Adisha. So the whole Adisha means instruction, just instruct me. Here Aditi is requesting her husband to instruct her. So Srila Prabhupada is speaking here in this verse about the unintelligent people who ask if Guru is required. We can see, just like in the example of Duryodhan, even the most evil of the evil persons have a Guru. They follow a Guru. They follow somebody's instruction. If we don't follow somebody's instruction, we'll follow the instruction of our own mind, which can be the most evil of all. And Srila Prabhupada here is speaking about that faith. That faith is there in every living entity. It depends on where we place it. Duryodhana did have Dronacharya as the guru, right? Officially, Dronacharya is the guru. But actually, who was he following? Shakuni. So, this is a very broad concept Srila Prabhupada is bringing here. In the Sanskrit itself, there is no word guru. Whereas Srila Prabhupada is clearly indicating that following the instruction is what makes you accept a guru or become a disciple. Whoever we listen to, we are technically the disciple of that person. We can see the opposite mentality explained in by Srila Prabhupada in this purport of Arjuna. Arjuna wanted to follow Krishna. So he surrendered himself. Shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. So he humbly surrendered himself to Krishna. So that faith is favorable for the soul. So this is the whole point about intelligent and unintelligent. Intelligent means to follow the right instruction. And unintelligent means to follow instruction that destroys us. So it's a question beyond initiation itself. Because initiation means it's the beginning. It's the starting point. It's not the end. It's only the beginning that you're committing, I will follow your instruction. And then it's up to us if we want to be a disciple or not. And so this broad idea of Guru Tattva is something that even of recent I have been contemplating and researching and studying. So Srila Prabhupada is here giving us direction how to rise beyond the neophyte understanding of Guru. It's very easy to take the initiation and consider, now I am initiated, but it's a whole different thing to follow the instructions, to be a good disciple, to follow the principles and advance in devotional service. When my guru, when we say that, when the my becomes bigger than the guru, it's a big risk. And we have seen that when we take this risk of focusing on this neophyte understanding is my guru is better. My guru is having, I had more interactions with Srila Prabhupada. Or my guru has more mercy from Krishna. This is a very, very immature and very dangerous understanding of Guru Tattva. Because actually Guru Tattva is something more directly connected to Krishna himself. And then there are representatives of Krishna. I have a god brother. When he first started to say that, I was very surprised, but then later on, it inspired me so much to go deeper into this concept of the Guru Tattva being much broad. He calls everybody's Guru as Guru Maharaj. And when I asked him, he explained this. Because Guru Tattva is something broad. And then a particular soul comes, Krishna sends that particular soul to instruct us, to give us association, to pick us up. But the Guru Tattva, if we want to get the mercy of the Guru Tattva, if we want to get the mercy of Guru Parampara, the more broad we are, the more mercy we can get. Because in the name of Guru, my Guru, my Guru's mission, sometimes we may risk to fight for something we want instead of what Krishna wants. And then we can get into conflicts with other god siblings, we can get into conflict with our members of the society. And we have seen in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that happening. Me and mine, that can come even when we are a disciple. So Srila Prabhupada is saying we shouldn't get stuck with that, but rather take instructions and follow the instructions. And Prabhupada's focus in this purport is about toward advancing in spiritual life. So it takes some intelligence. And we cannot be unintelligent like Duryodhana to just follow what seems temporarily beneficial for us. So the point, this primary understanding is acceptance of instruction is what really means a disciple. And it is not about us, but it is about Krishna. It's not about my guru, it's about Krishna's representative. That matters. Now, moving on, there is obviously the main mood of this whole verse and the purport is the mood of a disciple. Just like we saw Arjuna's mood is Shishyastehaam Sadhimam Tvam Prapannam. What is Duryodhana's mood? He's saying Anyecha Bahava Shura Madarte Tyakta Jeevitaha. He's saying all these great warriors, Bhishma and Drona, all these people, they are actually his gurus. But he's saying all these great people, they have come here in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Madarte Tyakta Jeevitaha, to give up their lives for my sake. So the whole concentration is me again. For my sake, they have come here, and he's saying they've come to kill themselves. So the mentality is to try to take from the guru and not to give. So the real disciple thinks, how can I give? And in fact, I want to bring up this beautiful verse that Bhishma Dev, in the end of the war, he spoke to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Guru guru tamo dama satya satya parakramaha nimisho nimishasragvi vachas patirudharadihi. This explains the whole concept of how guru means the first guru is Krishna. Krishna is the original preceptor who sends different other preceptors to awaken the sleeping souls to bring back to him. And in this, the guru tama is very interesting because guru tama actually means you don't need to find a guru. Guru is sent by Krishna. As we hear, Krishna sends the guru, Krishna gives us the guru, and guru gives us Krishna. So there is no need to intellectually find how to take the instruction, how to follow, but it is something given also by the mercy of the Lord. And when we follow it, then we get Krishna. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in the same principle, he says this beautiful song, Emono Durmati. In that, he's actually saying, Emono Durmati Samsara Bhitare Podiya Chino Ami Tavani Jajan Kono Mahajane Pathaya Dile Tumi. It's a beautiful verse. It says, this Emono Durmati, this horrible mind, this evil mind has brought me into this material world, in this ocean of material suffering. And you, Krishna, you have sent Mahajans, so many great devotees who have come here to save us. They have done so many sacrifices for us. So you have come to save us. You have sent them. And still this evil mind, stupid mind is keeping me here. So the same concept again, Krishna sends us guru. Krishna sends us instruction through different devotees, different shiksha gurus, different senior devotees, different junior devotees, through our spouses, through our children. So Krishna's instruction does not have any limit or boundary as to it has to come from a certain person. Because sometimes we limit our acceptance of instruction from the guru. We meet our spiritual masters, the initiating spiritual masters, maybe once in a year. And then we may have a lot of problems with other devotees around us. And we don't like listening to instructions. And sometimes we may just say, no, I will just listen to my guru. But actually, I personally have that experience as well. The mind can trick into saying, I will not listen to anybody but my guru. But I'm not really a disciple who is open for the instructions of Krishna being sent through different devotees. So, in this verse that I was just quoting, Nimisha Sragvi is a very, very deep, very profound concept of what does it mean? What does a guru give? Why is guru so powerful? Nimishaha means one who is always with eyes closed. Why is Krishna with always eyes closed? There's a whole explanation the Acharyas give and say that Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy is always closed down for those who are enemies of the devotees. His graceful glance does not fall upon those who are enemies of the devotees. And Animishaha means one who is always with open eyes. And the comparison is given with Matsyavatara. In Matsyavatara, fish doesn't close its eyes. It's always with open eyes. So Krishna, when he took Matsyavatara, he's always alert. He's always watching. What is he watching? He's watching the intentions and motivations of the devotees. He's always trying to look, watch, teach us lessons. So this Nimishaha and Animishaha is a very interesting concept also for the spiritual master and disciples relationship, because so many disciples are initiated by the same guru. There were so many disciples initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Why did different devotees take advantage in different ways? Because of this Nimishaha, Animishaha concept. Because those who are open for Guru's mercy, those who perform sincerely, we get more mercy. Because the mercy is always there. Krishna's mercy is always there, but depending on whether we are making the Lord look at us or we are making the Lord close His eyes, that is dependent on us. We will let Duryodhana in our heart win, or will we let Arjuna in our heart win? Depending on that, the Nimishaha or Animishaha, will the Lord put His graceful glance upon us, or will He keep His eyes closed? Then Vachaspati also is very relevant in this context of guru and disciple. Vachaspati means the one who is the perfect in speech. In the verse that Bhishma Dev is quoting about the guru concept. So Krishna always speaks perfectly. So through a person we accept instructions, in the motivation that we want instruction from Krishna, that person is also empowered by Krishna to speak. So when we are given instructions by gurus, when we are given instructions by teachers in our life, we should know. That's why we sing Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. So the instructions of the spiritual master, they're very pure. And then we need to imbibe that in our heart. Chitete Koriya Aikya. We have to live by that instruction. So the instruction is two-sided. One-sided is what is coming from the mouth of the guru. That's only half of the story. The real story is, how do we receive that instruction? The instruction is there. So the guru is the transparent via medium. So he is acting according to the instruction of Krishna. I want to bring up another concept of courage. When Duryodhana saw in the Dronacharya's Gurukul, Duryodhana saw that Arjuna started getting instructions on Divyastras, divine weaponry. He was taught how to use divine with mantras, how to invoke the arrows. Duryodhana became very envious. Why? Because he wanted to learn Divyastras. But Dronacharya did not give him because he was not qualified. He couldn't even properly aim normal things, and if you give Divyastras, he cannot use it. We all know the famous story of Arjuna had a very perfect eye. He could hit the eye of the bird and make the arrow go through the eye of the bird without making the bird fall. Nobody else in the Gurukul could do that. So therefore, Dronacharya gave special knowledge to Arjuna. You know what happened? It seems that Duryodhana was so agitated, he wanted to leave the Gurukul and go away. He said, this is very, lot of partiality. This should not be happening. Dronacharya is making partiality. So, you know, Dronacharya says, if you leave the Gurukul, you will not gain any knowledge. So the point is this. It's natural human tendency to compare. Sometimes we may look at our godbrothers or we look at other devotees and compare ourselves and say, oh, they are much better devotees than me. They're getting more mercy than me. It's natural to compare, but just like the story of Duryodhana, while looking at the palace of other people, we should be careful not to burn down our own huts. So we all have certain capacity, certain karma, certain tendencies that may be helping us or blocking us. But looking at others, if we try to burn down what we have nothing left. So we should always be grateful for the mercy, whatever we have, whatever capacity we have, and we shouldn't get into comparison. This is something personally has helped me. Compare not, but be courageous. And to not compare and work on my own hut takes courage. Because it takes courage to take our eyes off the palace and focus on my hut. It's much easier to look at the palace and go on and lament, saying, oh, I don't have a palace. So this guilt is something which is detrimental for devotional service if we withdraw from the association of devotees because of guilt. Sometimes we may have not followed the instruction of our spiritual master perfectly. We may feel a sense of inadequacy. We may feel a deep sense of unqualified. I'm very unqualified. And we may withdraw from association of devotees instead of understanding that we have no other way to become qualified than to continue in devotional service. And there is an analogy I heard. It was very heavy, but it makes sense. So some healthy guilt is necessary to understand. You see, I am so fallen, but my Guru Maharaj has sacrificed so much so that he can save souls like me. So I have to do something to improve my devotional service. So that's good. At the same time, excess of it. Oh, I have been such a bad disciple and I stopped going to the temple. I stopped chanting properly. I'm depressed because I have been such a bad disciple. This can be very dangerous. So what? How should we deal with that? It's a fact. It's a fact. We have dirt. We have filth. At least I have filth, dirt. So how do I deal with that? How do I deal with that is something like our body, which is a vehicle to perform devotional service, it also produces things which are abominable. Okay? So it's produced. I don't feel guilty about it. We shouldn't feel guilty about it, but we should discard it and move on. Okay, it's a process of purification, then I perform my devotional service. So the focus should be more on reaching the goal instead of thinking of all the dirty things that is being produced. Because focusing on the dirt too much can cause us more blockage. Does it make sense? The guilt can make us pull us down. So this is what I've heard from different devotees, this principle that when we feel guilt, when we feel shame, when we feel disqualification, it is a sign of life. It is a sign that we are alive and we want Krishna. We want Krishna consciousness. So when we are down, this is a way to kind of uplift ourselves. Madhavendra Puri, so beautiful. It's one of my favorite prayers. Srila Prabhupada also quotes this in the second canto. He's quoting this, third chapter. This is what Madhavendra Puri is saying. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusion. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Maimonides may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am too much proud. Still, it's very important from here. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. More important, though I be unable to do it. So rich. Such depth of sincerity, but at the same time, such depth of determination. So it's precisely because of our filth, because of our disqualification, because of our anarthas, that we have to keep performing devotional service, that we have to keep surrendering to Guru, try to do our best to represent our spiritual masters and do the devotional service, and that's the only way that we can actually get purified. Running away from that will not give us any results. And we should always keep in mind, how can I fulfill the desire of my spiritual master? And in fact, in Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Daya Karo More, Narottam Das Thakur actually says, the one who is most fallen, his claim for Lord's mercy is first. So the feeling of I'm very fallen is good for us. It's needed. Then the Lord will look upon us and give us mercy, hopefully. So though the devotee's mood is about realizing that I don't possess any ability, I am full of disabilities, and yet I have no spiritual desire, I have so many material desires, still we should cultivate that determination that even in this situation I want to serve Krishna. And even if we are unable to do that, that should be our only focus. That's the main mood. Because if we don't take all these wonderful prayers, all these wonderful pastimes, association, if we don't take advantage of this, basically it represents that we do not have faith in Guru. Because the whole point about accepting Guru, accepting instruction of Guru is upon faith. Any small activity we need to do requires faith. What to speak of advancing in spiritual life? And giving up that false ego and following faith is the only path. And we may do it gradually, but we need to have the desire to do it. Without the desire, it doesn't happen automatically. The initiation itself doesn't purify us. But the resolution, the determination to follow is what really purifies us. And even that comes only by the mercy of the Guru. It's not that, because it's not initiation that purifies us, but it's the mercy of the Guru that purifies us. So the conclusion is, we need to understand that every jiva is worthy, is valuable, because we are parts and parcels of Krishna. And we need to rise above the feeling of uselessness which can block us in devotional service. And with faith and conviction, we need to accept, yes, Krishna, I am very useless, but as long as we have the desire to serve Guru, then He can make us useful. We need that faith. He can make us useful. And Krishna invests His energies through those who He sends to help us. So those are the few points I wanted to share, and we can open up for some comments, some questions on this verse.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned regarding the topic of the spiritual master, you talk about Guru Tattva, how Guru is a very broad understanding. This is what I understood you mentioned. And if we only focus on our spiritual master, then we may be doing that in a selfish attitude. So I would like you to develop that. And because what I understand is the personal spiritual master can look through our heart, and then the spiritual master sees what is needed to be corrected. But whereas the broad understanding of Guru, as within everyone and in so many masters, they may or they may not see the specific thing that is within me that needs to be corrected. So I don't know if you could talk a bit more about that.
Okay. So the broad concept of Guru, let me clarify. I do not mean by broad concept of Guru, you should look, run around to see everybody you can take instructions from, obviously. But the point was mostly it's a concept or principle of protection from offenses. To have that my guru is great, everybody else is nonsense. That was my point. Sometimes we can get stuck in that idea of getting into arguments, getting into relational difficulties with people because they may not have the same instruction as we have got, or they may not have the same viewpoint. In fact, even if you have the same guru, you've got the same instruction, you can have different viewpoints on that. So the idea is to be open to see where Krishna is sending his mercy, and to not become blocked and make offenses towards the guru tattva itself. Because by worshipping a particular spiritual master and not being respectful to others will not necessarily help us in the relationship with the guru that we are having, that we are worshipping. So we need to have respect. That's the main point. Because on a more universal level, on a more cosmic level, there are universal gurus. For example, Ganesh, let's take Ganesh. Ganesh is very important devotee because he's the one who wrote all the Vedas. He remembered everything, he understood everything, and only then he wrote. And in fact, the Vaishnava Acharyas themselves say that unless we have mercy of him, he who is the guru of all these scriptures, we cannot understand scriptures. Okay? Doesn't mean we start worshipping him and give up worshipping our guru parampara. And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says how Lord Shiva, he's also the spiritual master of all the jivas. And he's the rasa pradayaka. He's the one who reveals the rasa. And even Sri Naradadei Satatam Sugopya, Lord Chaitanya is saying this. This is when he went to Puri and he saw Lord Shiva, he composed a beautiful prayer. And in one of the verses he says, Sri Naradadei Satatam Sugopya Jigyasitaya Shuvara Pradaya Tebhyo Harer Bhakti Sukha Pradaya Shivaya Sarva Gurave Namo Namaha. So he's saying that Shiva is the guru of everyone, all the living entities. So it doesn't mean that we don't worship any other guru, or you know what I mean. And then Hanuman, for instance, Hanuman is also said to be, he's the Pranadev. Every breath is Vayu, is him. And he is the force behind the jivas performing good activities. Without the mercy of Hanuman, a jiva cannot feel enthusiastic to do good activities. He is also called as the eternal guru of the jivas. As long as we have breath, he is the guru. So, what I mean to say, guru tattva is very broad, is that there are universal gurus, there are ISKCON gurus, and there are gurus at home. So there are many levels of gurus. And our dedication, our focus in serving our spiritual master should not make us disrespect or disregard other instructions or other blessings that may be coming through other gurus. So in that sense, to keep ourselves open for the mercy, because it's Krishna's mercy, and our spiritual masters are instrument via medium to make, Krishna is sending them as a representative to us. Krishna is sending another guru as a representative to someone else. But the point is, it's not about me, it's about Krishna. So somebody else's guru is also Krishna's representative. So to have that broad concept is very important. Otherwise we can get too into the neophyte understanding of, because it's my guru, we think that person is special. So that's the clarification I'd like to.
Hare Krishna. How do you decide that this is a surrendered soul? Hello? Hello?
What is the criteria to determine or judge who is a surrendered soul?
Yeah.
My humble opinion is we should not judge anybody whether they are a surrendered soul or not. That's judgment is not our duty. That's the duty of Krishna. We should be surrendered. That's the only way you can know if somebody is surrendered.
What are the steps of surrender?
What do you mean by surrender? What does it mean to you, surrender?
Surrender means obey the instructions.
Sorry?
to obey the instructions.
Okay, if they're obeying instructions, if they're chanting 16 rounds, if they're following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, I think you can ask them, are you chanting 16 rounds? Are you following Srila Prabhupada's instructions? You don't tax your brain too much. We shouldn't try to judge a devotee based on our perception. That's why we follow Guru Parampara. So we don't have to bother too much with that. Does it help? Okay, if there is no other comments or questions, we can end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Iskon Guru Vrinda ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Jai.
मेरा ईमेल दे।
हाँ, ईमेल दे।